Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Have you ever, in your life, thought that you knew something? Thought that you had something all figured out, only to have something new come up and catch you out of the blue that you were not expecting at all? Sometimes this happens to us if we're reading a book or watching a movie, especially if it's a good book or a good movie. We think we have figured out where the story is going to go, and all of a sudden, wham, the writer hits us with something that we did not expect, that we did not see coming. One of examples of this in a movie is in the old Star Wars movies. Now, these movies have been out for a while, not the new one, but I mean the old ones. So I don't think I'm going to be spoiling anything by saying this. But if you haven't seen the movie yet and I spoil it for you, I apologize. Star Wars, like so many other movies, is about the battle between good and evil. Darth Vader is the cowled and masked villain, while Luke Skywalker, the main character, is the hero who will save the day. You think you know how the story is going to go until you find out that Darth Vader is actually Luke's father. Whoa! Who saw that one coming? In fact, that scene was so surprising and so memorable at the time that it has been copied and parodied in many other movies since then. It was surprising and unexpected. You think you knew what was going on, but maybe you did not know as much as you thought. Our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 3 probably had the same effect on the first people to read it. Think about it. They already knew who Jesus was. Right at the beginning of his gospel, in the very first verse, Matthew called Jesus the Son of David. The Son of David was the title for a king, the title for the Messiah. So Matthew lets us know that Jesus is the king, the Messiah, right off the bat. Matthew has also already told us by this time how Jesus was born, that he was not conceived in the normal way, but by the Holy Spirit. His birth itself was a miracle. Matthew has told us what the angel said to Joseph, that Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us. So by the time we get to this chapter, chapter 3 in Matthew's gospel, we already know who Jesus is, that he is the king, that he is the Messiah, that he is God with us. We know also what Jesus came to do. As the angel said to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. So by the time we get to this chapter, chapter 3, we know who Jesus is. He's the promised one sent from God who's going to save his people from their sins. So Matthew's already told us a lot about who Jesus is. And he's also told us about baptism. Baptism is for repentance. As Matthew told us, John the Baptist preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Baptism was for the repentance of sins. So by the time we get to our reading here in Matthew chapter 3, we know these things. We know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of David, the King, the Holy One of God, come down to earth to save his people from their sins. And we know that John's baptism was for the repentance of sins. And knowing those things, we come to this sentence. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. What? Wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. What's going on? What's Jesus doing there? Now, maybe for you and for me, we're not really surprised by this because we've heard it before. We know that it comes up every year shortly after Christmas, the baptism of Jesus. So we expect it. We've heard it before, but maybe we still wonder why. Why does Jesus need to be baptized? Because you and I also, we know who Jesus is. In fact, we know maybe better than they did because we know the rest of the story. We know how the rest of his life is going to go. And that makes our puzzlement even more. We know that Jesus is the Savior, and we know that he does save us. We know that he was and is completely and utterly without sin. We know that he traded his sinless life for our sinful ones. We just sang about that a moment ago in our hymn. We know that Jesus completely and totally kept the entire law of God, all the commandments. We know that he was crucified for us, and we know that he rose from the dead for us. We know that he is God, that he is the Savior from sin, and that he has saved us. We also know what baptism is. We know that baptism is for sinners. We know what baptism does. We just talked about it a minute ago with the children. Baptism washes away our sins. It makes us part of God's family. It gives the Holy Spirit. But knowing what we know about Jesus, he did not need any of those things that baptism does. He did not have any sins that needed to be washed away. He did not need to be made a part of God's family, since he already was God's only begotten Son. So we, too, are puzzled. Why is Jesus getting baptized? Well, you and I, and the original readers of Matthew's Gospel, whoever they were, are not the only ones to ask that question. Did you notice? Right there in our reading, John the Baptist himself, as he saw Jesus coming toward him to be baptized, was asking that same question. What is going on? This is not what John expected either. John knows what baptism is for. He's been doing it. John knows that baptism is for the repentance of sins. John knows who Jesus is because he's been telling people who Jesus is. John said to the people coming out to be baptized by him, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is what John had just been saying about Jesus. I'm not worthy even to carry his sandals. If I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals, how can I be worthy to baptize him? And yet, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John the Baptist was as surprised by this as anyone. And so Matthew tells us that John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Almost as if John is saying, hey, Jesus, I think you've got this backwards. This is not the way that it should be. Why was Jesus baptized? What is going on here? This is puzzling, unexpected. We know what baptism is. And we know who Jesus is, and the two of them just don't seem to fit together in the way Matthew tells us they do. So Jesus answers John. He says, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Now, a lot of times when you and I think of righteousness, we think of being good, doing good works, following the commandments, those sorts of things. But Jesus talks about righteousness as something that can be fulfilled. Matthew is very concerned throughout his gospel in showing us how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. And the Old Testament often talks about God's righteousness. And God's righteousness is not about us being good or following the commandments or doing things like that. God's righteousness are the things that God does to rescue, to save, and deliver his people. Let me give you just a few examples from the Psalms. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. That's Psalm 31, verse 1. Psalm 71, verse 2 says, in your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. And Psalm 143 says, in your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. So, in Jesus' baptism, God's righteousness, His salvation, His saving deeds are being fulfilled. Just like John proclaimed, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom has come for the salvation of all who believe the promise. Here in Jesus' baptism, part of that promise was being fulfilled. How? We've already noted the baptism is for sinners. Jesus is not a sinner, so he does not need baptism. That's what makes this account so puzzling. Who does need baptism? We do. You do. I do. We need it. Baptism is something that we need. In his baptism, Jesus is fulfilling God's righteousness, God's salvation, God's deliverance, God's rescue. Jesus is fulfilling God's righteousness in his baptism by saying, I'm with them. I am with these people. He did not need it to wash away his sins, but we do. In submitting himself to baptism by John, Jesus is putting himself in our place. What we need, he does for us. That's what he came to do. That's how he would fulfill the righteousness of God. By standing in your place. By standing in my place. In his baptism, Jesus is standing where you stand. Jesus is the Savior who came to save you and me from our sins. He did not come to stand behind us or even to stand next to us. But Jesus came to stand right in our spot to take our place. And that is what he is doing in his baptism, standing in our place. And knowing this changes how we look at the rest of what happened. Jesus stepped into our spot, stood in our place in his baptism, and he lived the rest of his life standing in our place. That's why he came, to fulfill the law in our place for us, to die in our place, to suffer the pains of hell that we deserve because of our sin in our place. He stood in our place and took them. He stood in our place before God's judgment seat. He took our place. He rose again from the dead in our place so that one day we too will rise from the dead. Jesus Christ came to save us by standing in our spot, by standing in our place. That's what he did in his baptism. He stepped right into our spot. He stepped right into our place so that he could fulfill his mission to save us from our sin. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.